The second major issue impinging on the Arab sense of independence was the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. In the view of most Arabs, Israel was a creation of Western imperialism, designed to re-enslave the Arab world just as it was on the verge of gaining true political liberty. This was, of course, a simplistic view, one that overlooked the central role that ordinary Jews themselves had played in building the Zionist movement, but there were some elements of truth to it. For most of the interwar period, Zionism had indeed been promoted by Imperial Britain. And not long after the British stopped serving as a patron, with the issuing of the White Paper of 1939, the United States stepped in to lend crucial support to the movement. So both of these factors, the legacy of imperialism and the creation of Israel, greatly contributed to the Arabs' perception that they were being victimized by the West, including the United States. So as the 1950s began, the United States faced a basic dilemma regarding its approach to the Arab world. On the one hand, it wanted to keep the Arab states favorably disposed toward the West so that the region's oil reserves and strategic positions would remain accessible to the United States and its allies. On the other hand, the United States had close alliances with Britain and France and was committed to Israel's survival and security, circumstances that caused deep resentment in the Arab world. Washington's dilemma became more acute in the early 1950s. In 1952, the Egyptian monarchy was overthrown by a group of young army officers who established a new military government for Egypt. Leading the officers was a 34-year-old lieutenant colonel named Gamal Abdel Nasser. Initially, the new Egyptian regime was governed by a figurehead, a benign and fatherly general named Mohammed Naguib. But by 1954, Nasser had emerged as Egypt's formal leader, serving first as prime minister and then, from 1956 until his death in 1970, as president. Nasser was an extremely dynamic and charismatic figure. He was an electrifying public speaker who projected an aura of confidence and defiance, capturing the imagination of the Egyptian and later the Arab masses. Initially, the Eisenhower administration was fairly optimistic about working with Nasser. He cracked down on Egyptian communists, outlawing the Communist Party and throwing its leaders in jail, and gave the impression that he wanted close relations with the United States. Nasser made it clear, however, that while his regime would be basically pro-Western, it would not enter into a formal alliance with the West against the Soviet Union, nor would it be happy if other Arab countries joined such an alliance. The Eisenhower administration thought it could live with this condition. So instead of trying to bring Egypt or any other Arab states into an anti-Soviet pact, it encouraged those countries to make peace with Israel. This may seem to have nothing to do with U.S. efforts to contain the Soviet Union, but in fact there was an intimate connection between the Arab-Israeli conflict and the Cold War, and U.S. officials were convinced that resolving the first conflict would make it easier for them to prevail in the second. Here's how the logic worked. The creation of Israel had heightened the Arab sense of grievance against the West. And as long as the conflict remained unresolved, the Soviet Union had an opportunity to exploit Arab grievances and increase its own political influence in the region. Now, it is true that the Soviet Union had supported the creation of the State of Israel, but in the early 1950s, the Soviets had started to take a pro-Arab stance in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Eisenhower and Dulles feared that the Arab states might eventually conclude that the Russians were their true friends and thus align with Moscow in the Cold War. The best way to keep this from happening, Eisenhower and Dulles believed, was to encourage a resolution of the Arab-Israeli conflict. So starting in late 1954, the Eisenhower administration began a sustained diplomatic effort to convince Egypt and Israel to reach a preliminary peace settlement. The administration calculated that if Egypt, the most populous and influential of all the Arab states, could be induced to enter into a peace process with Israel, then other Arab states would be willing to do so as well.